Go ahead and turn in your Bible, if you would, to Psalm 42. Psalm 42 and 43 are where we're going to be this evening. This morning we talked about the thirst of an empty soul and how without God all of life is meaningless, but with God now in the picture, all of life explodes with new meaning. As we see that we were not created to live for our own glory, but for His, as we put God in the center of the universe and our soul finds its satisfaction to the thirst of the empty soul in God alone. Well, today, tonight, I want us to focus our attention on the thirst of the dry soul. What does it mean to thirst as one who knows dryness in the soul? We know the Lord, but the experience of His presence, he seems as if He's distant. Psalm 42 and 43 address that very specifically. We're reading them together because they fit together as one song. It's like a song with three verses and one repeated chorus that we see all throughout it. Why don't we read it together? And I'll read it out loud. Just follow along in your Bible. I'm reading in the English Standard Version, Psalm 42. In verse 1, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God. For I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. He's far from the temple of God. He's far from the procession of the saints headed to the house of God. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day the Lord commands His steadfast love, and at night His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me, for you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. These psalms record a cry to God from one who is cast down in an inward turmoil. But they're faith-filled words. They're words that are spoken from a dry place, and they're crying out and saying, God, I know you're there, even if I don't feel it right now. And they're words that I think we need to hear for a whole variety of reasons, but I want to pinpoint two as we get started. Here's two reasons why I think we need to hear about a thirst of a dry soul. The first is that we need to acknowledge the reality that there is dryness in our walk with the Lord. I don't often remember at this church or any other anyone walking into church and speaking words to me like this. Listen to the first three words of Psalm 42, verse 1. As a deer pants for flowing streams, my soul pants for God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I come and appear before God? My tears are my food day and night. While they say to me all day long, where is your God? Those aren't the words of some quaint, trite, major key praise song. Though they have been made the words of a quaint, trite, major key praise song. This is him saying, I'm thirsting for God like an animal that's about to die. God, I'm parched and dying here. Why aren't you helping me? There's despair. I mean, real despair here. We don't often talk openly about that at church. Church is a place to paint on a face as if I am constantly reveling in the wonderful delights of Christ, when in reality, everyone who's a true believer knows what it's like to feel a little bit dry in the soul. And this dryness hits us in varying degrees. For some, dry spells are relatively brief and innocent, but there's others here tonight who, when the darkness comes, you feel like it's never going to lift. Who are tempted to despair, and in the times of dryness, begin to question even the reality of God and your relationship to Him. Do I even know the Lord if I feel like this inside? Listen to me tonight, those of you who know that type of dryness. You're not alone. One. And your thirst for God will ultimately be satisfied. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. Weeping may endure for a moment, but joy will come in the morning. So we need to hear this, because there's a reality and an authenticity to the words that we need to start to incorporate more deeply in the way that we speak about our experience of God. Secondly, I think we need to hear it because this psalm echoes one of the great tensions that exists in the life of the Christian. In his great book, Desiring God, John Piper just gives us a phrase that has rocked my world for years. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. Okay, just process that. God is most honored, most given praise and worship by me when I find my soul's satisfaction and joy and delight in Him. It's not just a quaint phrase that John Piper made up. It's a phrase that reflects the reality of what the Scriptures tell us. Because the Scriptures are unceasing in their demand that we find our greatest joy and delight in God. I'm just going to read some Psalms and some other passages to you. Psalm 35, 27. Let those who delight in my righteousness shout for joy and be glad and say forevermore, great is the Lord who delights in the welfare of his servant. Psalm 111, verse 2. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Psalm 17, verse 15. As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with your likeness. Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Psalm 34:8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, I believe that with everything I am. But what if I don't taste that goodness right now? I mean, does it ever trouble you deeply in your soul? Why, when you know God is the exceeding joy of your soul, when you know there are pleasures forevermore at his right hand, and you wake up Monday morning and you want to hit the snooze more than you want to be with Jesus, do you know that tension? I do. I'm going to experience it tomorrow. I'm going to want to sleep. But God says, you got to make me your delight and your treasure. So what do I do when I don't desire God like that? If you don't wrestle like that, man, I just don't know how you can be a Christian, really. I mean, honestly, to know the turmoil in your soul that says, I'm full of sin, why do I so long for these things when I know I want God? So, that's why I want to spend our time here. Because the psalmist has words for those of us who are familiar with it. I want to focus particularly on the chorus, the refrain that we heard. It was repeated three times. You saw it. Psalm 42, verse 5. Psalm 42, verse 11. Psalm 43, and verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. I want to just review three meditations, three thoughts for those who know what it's like to have a dry soul, to thirst for the Lord as a deer pants for water. Here's thought number one. Persevere. Keep going in times of dryness. Persevere. Keep going in times of dryness. You noted this, right? In response to his dryness of soul and to dark times of despair, the psalmist returns again and again to the exact same truth. See that? In response to verse 1, I'm feeling dry within. People are questioning, where is your God? What does he say? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. In response to the next dark night of the soul, what does he say? Same exact words. Hope in God. What does he do when he pleads for vindication? Same exact words. In other words, we live in an age of instant solutions. If the big pill didn't work the first time, I'm just simply going to stop taking it. I wonder if we would have the fortitude, like the psalmist, to look deep into our despair and say, I gave this answer once before. I still think it's true. I'm going to keep trusting, even if it didn't work the first time. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to keep going. I mean, you're looking at a person here. If I've got a headache and I take a Tylenol and it doesn't work within like 2 seconds, I'm ready to write them a letter and tell them their product is defective. And this impatience can carry over for all of us to our spiritual life as well. We want instant faith, instant hope, instant joy, instant peace. But friend, your dryness didn't happen in an instant, and the thirst probably won't go away overnight. That's just the reality. So while you cry out to God and ask him to come and satisfy your hunger, you need to persevere. You need to keep going. Keep fighting. Keep trusting. Even if it seems cliche to you, read your Bible, pray, go to church, resist the urge to run after the newest solution to your problem or the latest self-help book. Keep returning to the tried and true paths. Don't forsake the essentials for the health of your soul, even if they don't seem to instantly solve your problems. In the words of Winston Churchill, friend, if you're going through hell, keep going. Keep going. We need to learn to persevere in times of dryness. Here's the second point. Persevere in times of dryness. And secondly, learn to preach to yourself, not just to listen to yourself. Notice carefully how the psalmist counters his inner turmoil. He isn't content to just sit there and listen to his inner thoughts. Instead, he speaks to his soul. He says, in essence, listen up, soul. I'm not just going to sit here and take this inner turmoil. Why are you cast down? He talks to himself more than he listens to himself. Now, that is a lesson we all need to learn. C.J. Mahaney, in this wonderful little book, it's called The Cross-Centered Life. I'm going to read you an excerpt of this that captures this truth so powerfully here. Just listen to these. They're life-giving words, okay? As we look at this idea of talking, preaching to ourselves, not just listening to ourselves. Have you ever realized, preacher David Martin Lloyd-Jones once observed, that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself? I agree. Let me explain what Mr. Lloyd-Jones means by listening to yourself. If you're anything like me, there's a good chance you do it every day. You know the routine. Every morning, the alarm clock erupts, demanding attention. And you hear this voice, right? Oh, make it stop. Make it stop. You hit the snooze button. A precious 8 minutes of floating, timeless oblivion passes by, and then the grating alarm begins again. You open your eyes and the listening begins. Today is Thursday. Oh no, I have a sales meeting. I'd be better up just curling up here in bed all day. Maybe I should exercise. Oh, my back's sore. Forget that. I'm not going to exercise. So we throw the 2 feet over the side of the bed, but the voice keeps talking. Yesterday, what was yesterday? Oh, the new noise in the car. Great. Life is just one big, broken, whirling mess of, oh man, and I need to balance the checkbook tonight. And now your bare feet hit the cold bathroom floor. The voice picks up its pace. And what did Laura mean by that comment? Was she being sarcastic at me again? Can't anyone in this family learn to put the toothpaste back? This weekend is going to be busy. You've got so much to do. You should pray. You don't have time to pray. You didn't pray yesterday. Boy, this mirror needs cleaned. Everything in this house is dirty. Shouldn't have watched that show last night. Wow, I need a haircut. Soon, God feels distance. Oh, I feel so drained. It's 8 a.m. Can you relate to that? On a daily basis, we're faced with two simple choices. We can either listen to ourselves and are constantly changing feelings about our circumstances, or we can talk to ourselves about the unchanging truth of who God is and what He's accomplished for us at the cross. Far too often, we choose to passively listen to ourselves. We sit back and let our view of God and life be shaped by our constantly shifting feelings about our ever-changing circumstances. Life is busy and often hard. It's full of distractions. And before the morning cup of coffee, our passive listening can take us on a roller coaster ride as we review 100 different topics and experience a dozen varied emotions. Is it any wonder we're so often unhappy? We're listening to ourselves. We need to start talking to ourselves instead. Just a thought for you. Off the cuff here. This is why, one of the reasons why corporate worship is so desperately important to your spiritual health. Because when you come in and we put these words on the screen, in a certain way, we are coercing you to stop the incessant listening and start speaking truth. And you desperately need to hear the truth of God. You need to learn to preach to yourself. Persevere in times of dryness. Preach to yourself. And here's the third point. We need to learn to shift our focus. Shift your focus. Hope in God. Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. In his time of dryness of soul, the psalmist intentionally shifts his focus from his churning emotion within to fix his eyes upon the God of his salvation. He takes his focus away from the inside and places it on the God who is outside. He has confidence in God, and particularly, he has confidence in God's ability to save. And friends, we have a ground for our confidence in the Lord that the psalmist could only see through the eyes of faith. You see, this passage even itself is full of the echoes of Calvary. Just look back at chapter 42, verses 9 and 10. It's an echo of Calvary here. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Can you hear that from Christ on the cross? God, why have you forsaken me here? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where's your God? See, on the cross, friend, Jesus knew what it was like to face true despair, a true dryness of soul. Because for the first moment in his life on the cross, when Christ cried out, my God, no one was listening. The Son, who from eternity past had enjoyed perfect communion with the Father, on the cross is the object of his Father's wrath. He's forsaken. And so he cries out, my God, why have you forgotten me? And he's truly forgotten. And even as he experiences that wrath of God, you hear his enemies passing by with their mocking words. He saved others, he cannot save himself. He's the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross. Maybe we'll believe in him. He trusts in God, let God deliver him if God desires him. On the cross, Jesus knew what it was like to pant after God, to long for the salvation of the Lord. Why? Christ died for our sins. Christ died for our sins. I should have been forsaken. You see, in a certain way, verse 9, when we read, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? It should not be shocking that we would be forsaken by the Lord. That would be justice, that God would turn his back on his enemies. But instead, Christ was forsaken in my place. So that now, for those of us who are in Christ, though we may feel forsaken by God, we will never ultimately be forsaken by God. In Christ, his promise to us is, I will never leave you or forsake you. Are you amazed by that? You see, in our times of despair and dryness of soul, we must again and again shift our focus. We must turn our gaze to the Savior. Think of the words of that song. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt, where? Within. Look inside. Listen to yourself here. And tells me of the guilt within. What's the answer? Upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. We must turn our gaze from our problems, from ourself, from our feelings, from the condemnation we feel, and instead expend our energies in setting our gaze upon the Savior. We need to behold the wondrous cross upon which the Prince of Glory died. So when the dry times come, shift your focus. Turn your focus outward. Expend your energy in reading and singing and praying the message of the gospel deep within your soul. When the dry times come, one, you need to persevere. You need to keep going. Oh, keep going today. Those of you who are downcast, keep going. Preach to yourself. Stop listening to the inner noise. And instead say, soul, listen to the truth of God. And shift your focus from the inner turmoil to the cross where the Savior died. Know that while you might feel today forsaken, you will never ultimately be forsaken if you're in Christ, because He was forsaken in your place. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. Father, we worship You tonight because You are a God who draws near to those who draw near to You. Because You're a God who in our dryness of soul has never forsaken us. Though I may feel as if You're distant, Your promise to me in the gospel is that You will never again be distant, for You've drawn near to me in Christ. And again tonight, I worship You. Oh, thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus, for dying the death I deserved to die, for living the life I could never live, so that now I enjoy the benefits of a relationship to God that I could never deserve. So that now, for all of us, Father, who know what it's like to experience the dryness of soul, would You fill us with faith this week to fight, to persevere, to keep going? Would You remind us again and again by Your Spirit to stop listening to the noise within, but to preach to ourselves the truth of Your Word? Would You cause us again and again to shift our gaze to the finished work of our Savior? And we'll hope in You, and we'll praise You for it. In the name of Jesus, amen.
We'd like to thank you for listening to our weekly podcast. We'd also like to invite you to visit our website at www.sailorvillebaptist.com. Drop us a line and let us know how we can serve you better. We'll see you next week.